right to open the back of your hymnals, the Belgian Confession of Faith, Article 26. Article 26, you can find on page 864. It reads rather like the scripture reading in the sense that it's very close to the scriptures in terms of its argument, walking through various passages. The summary statement of faith, Article 26. Listen carefully. It's a little longer than usual, but one that, as I said, is sort of a walking through a simple argument and summary about Jesus and the kind of mediator or intercessor that he is as he goes between us and God, the high priest. It says there, Article 26, we believe that we have no access to God except through the one only mediator and intercessor, Jesus Christ the righteous. He, therefore, was made man, uniting together the divine and human natures, so that we human beings might have access to the divine majesty. Otherwise, we would have no access. But this mediator, whom the Father has appointed between himself and us, ought not to terrify us by his greatness, so that we have to look for another one, according to our fancy. For neither in heaven nor among the creatures on earth is there anyone who loves us more than Jesus Christ does. Although he was in the form of God, he nevertheless emptied himself, taking the form of a man and a servant for us. And he made himself completely like his brothers. Suppose we had to find another intercessor. Who would love us more than he who gave his life for us? And even though we were his enemies. And suppose we had to find one who has prestige and power. Who has as much of these as he who is seated at the right hand of the Father? And who has all power in heaven and on earth? And who will be heard more readily than God's own dearly beloved Son? So then, sheer unbelief has led to the practice of dishonoring the saints instead of honoring them. That was something the saints never did nor asked for, but which, in keeping with their duty, as appears from their writings, they consistently refused. We should not plead here that we are unworthy, for it is not a question of offering our prayers on the basis of our own dignity, but only on the basis of the excellence and dignity of Jesus Christ, whose righteousness is ours by faith. Since the apostle for good reason wants us to get rid of this foolish fear, or rather this unbelief, he says to us that Jesus Christ was made like his brothers in all things, that he might be a high priest who is merciful and faithful to purify the sins of the people. For since he suffered, being tempted, he is also able to help those who are tempted. And further, to encourage us more to approach him, he says, since we have a high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who has entered into heaven, we maintain our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to have compassion for our weaknesses, but one who is tempted in all things, just as we are, except for sin. Let us go then with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in order to be helped. The same apostle says that we have liberty to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Let us go then in the assurance of faith. Likewise, Christ's priesthood is forever. By this he is able to save completely those who draw near to God through him, who always lives to intercede for them. What more do we need? For Christ himself declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Why should we seek another intercessor? Since it has pleased God to give us his Son as our intercessor, let us not leave him for another, or rather, seek without ever finding. For when God gave him to us, he knew well that we were sinners. Therefore, in following the commandment of Christ, we call on the Heavenly Father through Christ, our only mediator, as we are taught by the Lord's Prayer. being assured that we shall obtain all we ask of the Father in His name. This is our confession of faith, very helpful for us as we consider the role that God intends for Jesus, very unique role, a special role, our mediator. I invite you to open to Colossians for our scripture reading. We read quite a bit of scripture in that article. Nevertheless, I think Colossians is helpful for us. We're going to read, starting at verse 15, you can find it on page 983. It says there, page 983, Colossians 1, verse 15, He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you, who were once alienated, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. We have a lot of good material, right? A lot to work with, a lot to think about there. Brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you think of when you hear the word access? The unlocked door, right? The closed gate opened, passwords maybe to your various accounts or to your phone, or maybe access more like, the backstage pass or whatever, being able to see the performer or the big personality at some event where, thousands want to get in, but you get to go past, the barrier. Last year, before my dad had passed away, we had a big family reunion in Florida. And my mom had carefully planned, we all went to Disney World with 20 of us. We all had these wristbands, right? The fast pass. And you put it up against this thing, and it did a little razzle-dazzle, and then it turned green. No waiting. I get to get on the ride. We get to get on the ride and walk past everyone. Oh, it's so important. Oh, it was wonderful. And so we all had, this drops the depth on the discussion to a level that's hard to fathom. Divine access. It's not a theme park. It's not pretend, right? It's not a joke. How can sinners meet with God is the question. How can people who had no access to God now have a relationship with Him and know Him and come into His presence and pray to Him that He would bother to listen or hear? Christians make and demonstrate an incredible claim when we worship, and according to what we profess before the world, God Himself is with us in our worship, and the time is drawing very near where we will be with Him face to face and forever in Jesus' name. And there is no way in this whole world but through Jesus Christ and in the name of Christ as Christians that we could ever have access to God, that He would ever turn His face towards any people that were calling out to Him anywhere, in any place. And yet we're saying that openly, and we're repeating it often. There's no favorable access to God apart from faith and believing in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the righteous, then, which is the name of the Scriptures, exclusively fills the role of mediator, of intercessor, of high priest between God and men according to God's pleasing salvation plan. Pleasing to Him, and it should be pleasing to us. So the first thing to talk about then is the exclusivity of access. Right? It's no Bible secret, right? It's no Christian secret that it is exclusively through Jesus and necessarily through Jesus and no other that we have access to God the Father. God has made His Son, His only Son, Jesus, our Messiah, His chosen intercessor, the righteous one. And we have spent much time already in a series, in this Belgian Confession, walking our way through some of these pillar teachings about Jesus, His unique qualities that no one else can match to be the Messiah, to be the high priest that we need, to be the intercessor. No one can match Him. He's fully God and fully human. Humanity was not coming to God until Jesus sanctified it once more and made us holy. In one person, Jesus Christ, suffering and tempted, like us in every way except for sin, the righteous sacrifice through His crucifixion and death and resurrection, the perfect Messiah, the perfect high priest, the true prophet and teacher and king in the line of David, just as the scriptures told me, we have spent time in all these areas. We can't stop really talking about them. We build on them. And so, who else could be the one that gives us access to the divine majesty of God? Without Him, we have no access, and we proclaim to the world, no one will come to God save they come through Jesus in faith. The indisputable teaching of Scripture, we must believe it wholeheartedly, or we go astray. We must believe it. By virtue of the Great Commission, then, Jesus would have us spread that news everywhere unashamed. It's not bad news. It's the only good news that we've ever heard, that through Jesus there is access. And with others and in every other place, access is denied. We're to receive and spread this as the best news the world has ever heard. The good news of Jesus, true and lasting life from God, who provided a way, with a capital W, Jesus, the way. He sent Jesus to seek and to save the lost, to save sinners, and reconcile us with God. So Christians are calling on men and women all around us and everywhere to put away the idolatry that causes us to seek access to God by other means than through faith in Jesus. No more, setting up competing priorities. No, following, other dead ends. No more mystical spirituality that's sort of self-guided and self-whittled. We were darkened, and then the light came from heaven, Jesus, and illumined us. And so we have to turn from the depths of our darkness, the death of our sin. We even sang a song just now that talked about the seven deaths, as it were, the thorough, power of death that is overcome for anyone to come to Jesus or to enter into His, Emmanuel's kingdom. Many who deny the gospel in our culture, they despise the message because it, to them in their eyes, is not good news. It takes away their spiritual choices. And we love, if we love anything, choices. Like, I don't feel like eating there today. I feel like eating there. I don't feel, I already had this kind of food. I already had a burger. I already had, a burrito. I want something else. So we have this craving for more spiritual choices and options. And I may have said this before, but it's what always pops in my mind when we talk about options when God has said there is but one way. I think of, the electrical socket, right? The plug for my phone charger. The thing that I'm always needing, to plug in again. Sticks in my mind. Power outlet, stick it in, you get power, but, just take a ripe tomato and, stick it right in there. Great, your phone will charge. No. I'm not going to waste my time with dead-end options, right? I'm not going to stick the prongs of my charger into the crack of my couch cushions. Great, plugged in, I'll come back, it'll be 100%, no problem. Into my glass of orange juice. Into a tree. Into a nice, cut of meat. There's no access there. There's no real connection. That's cute. I mean, technically, it's an option. Try to plug your charger into all kinds of things and see how it goes. But that's sort of the message here. Why? Why would we we do it? Brick? No. Encyclopedia? No. Pot and plant? What are we doing when we talk about choices and access and spirituality that's self-willed? It's a very silly thing. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's good news. We finally found something that works. There are, as it turns out, a million things you could try to plug your charger into that won't work. But there's one that does. Praise God. Jesus Christ. Repent and believe in Him. Take up your cross and follow Him for real and true life. Here's a true story. When I was a kid, this woman would come around at Christmas time to our house and drop off a gift. I didn't notice the first several times. But then eventually I did notice, as a kid might do. And, you know, who was that? You know, it's not an aunt. It's not a... It's not somebody I ever seen, not at church, not anywhere. Oh, it's actually a woman whose life we saved. Oh, interesting. She had gotten in an accident on a back road in Indiana in a horrible snowstorm, frigid winter in South Chicago. My parents were driving by. They're like, oh, you know, there's a woman wandering in the field, and there's her wrecked car or whatever. So they went and she was disoriented with a head injury. Brought to the hospital, and she lived, otherwise she surely would have perished and froze to death soon as she was walking around without a coat in like a desperately cold winter. And so at Christmas time she would bring a basket, or who knows, she'd bring something to thank them, remembering their help. So here's the question, right? How do you react when someone does a kindness for you? And what if they do a kindness that is not just like a small thing, but what if it's one that you can't really repay? How would you respond, and how would you think of them? You know, without them, I would have died. Our confession summarizes so well the reaction that we need with Jesus. He is so great. He is so mighty. He is so wonderful, and He loves us. And no one loves us more than Him. Anyway, there is no one who loves us more or has done more to help us than Jesus. You know, they helped a stranger in need. It's not like they woke up that day and said, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to help this woman. They saw her on the side of the road, and they didn't show any particular planning or skill or strength to do it. They just helped a person in need. But Jesus sought us to save us. He went for us when we were lost to find us. The Son of God laying down His life for you and for me. The Son of God rising again so that we could rise to a resurrected life. And He sits on the throne at God's right hand, has ascended with all His authority and power. The future belongs to Him. Everything holds together in Him, we read in Colossians. And He makes reconciliation, makes peace with God for us. When we were enemies, when we were alienated, it says in Colossians, hostile in mind, He thought of us because He loves us so much. Rebels against God, yet He took on all of our debt and all of our rebellion and removed our punishment by taking it on Himself. He loves you. He thought of you. He sought you out to save you. Is there any doubt? Is there any question? No way. And so the article pushes us to the point that we need to arrive for comfort, for assurance, for a closer walk with Jesus, and for God's glory. Who could read Colossians and then doubt the credentials of Jesus in power? Who could read Colossians and then say, I'm still not sure if I should, get close? Who could read who Christ is and what He has done and say, well, He's not really in the position to help me or to do, these things that I so desperately need in my life? Who would fail to run to Him when they need the power for salvation? Who would fail to run to Him when they need peace in their hearts and in their minds? Who would we say loves us more than Him who died to take our place? And who would we say is in a better position than the one who sits at God's right hand and is the center of all God's purposes for creation, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. In that light, we would conclude that it is folly. It is not just folly, but unbelief that would make us go anywhere else or seek out anyone else unless we have first thrown all of our faith and everything that we are at the feet of Jesus Christ. That would be unthinkable according to the Scripture. And so we find it unthinkable, and we find it a dishonor that anyone would direct their prayers to Mary, for instance, the mother of Jesus, who, while blessed by God, is like us, a human being, or to any other saint, instead of Jesus, to whom and in whose name we direct our prayers. It is sheer unbelief of God's word that makes people say, you know, the things that I've heard people say, and maybe you have heard people say, no, I'm not good enough to talk to Jesus. Well, that's what he came to fix. And so it's a statement of unbelief about him and about his saving power. It's not on the basis of our worthiness. We were rebels, all of us. This makes no sense in the Scripture. Or what else I have heard, right? Jesus is too severe, right? He's too sort of set apart. He's too aloof. It would be better if I could approach through this, you know, saint, whatever, if I could approach through his mother, who's a little kinder, etc. Therefore, I will ask, you know, these saints, right, for the things that I need, and they can bring it the rest of it. It's pure nonsense. It's nonsense according to the Scripture. The saints did not ask for our prayers. If they were God, which they aren't, and if they could hear all our prayers, which they cannot, they would be dishonored. They would be disgusted, in fact, by our prayers being directed to them, because they are known for putting their holy faith in Jesus and running the race towards him and directing others to him and his power and his love and his majesty against even awful opposition and threats and violence and every kind of resistance. This was the faith that they pilgrimaged for, that they raced for. And we would be dishonoring them. And they would refuse us and sternly warn us against such nonsensical idolatry, which dishonors the strong testimony about Jesus. It happened to be last week. I didn't mention it, you know, last week, but it was St. Patrick's Day, right? And I read in relation to, you know, another St. Patrick's Day, a prayer of his that was redundant in one special way. How many times he mentioned Christ. Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ to my right, and Christ to my left, Christ through me, Christ in the eyes of anyone who sees me, Christ in the ears of anyone who hears me. This was his testimony. If you know anything about him, I don't know much about him. I learned a lot this year. Reading his prayer, for instance, that he's known for, he would be appalled to learn that anyone did anything except go to Jesus. Not me, you know, not me. And our hearts then are broken, you know, for family members, for friends who make such ungodly habits as these, foolish habits, unbelieving habits, and have learned to embrace such practices or promote such practices. These prayers, these kinds of prayers, or this kind of thinking is an insult to the greatness of Jesus, who has the supremacy, who has the preeminence, who has the centrality according to God's design for salvation. Knowing, believing that Jesus Christ is lovingly and powerfully for us, near to us, gives us confidence. The men's breakfast yesterday we met, we talked about Philippians 4. You know, the Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. The Lord is near. It gives us confidence. All the passages that are referenced here in our confession are related to Hebrews. And we have spent time in Hebrews in the past going through the perfections of Jesus, greater than the angels, greater than Moses, the servant of God, greater than anyone is Jesus Christ, greater than Aaron, his priesthood. We are confident that when we are weak, he is strong to help us. We are confident that when we're tempted to sin, he will help us in our temptation and he will make atonement and has made atonement for our sins. We are sure that our cries for mercy, they are not, you know, clinking off the closed doors of heaven. You know, help! You know, and it bounces away. We are sure that the door is open, that the curtain, as it were, the most holy place, is torn from top to bottom in Jesus. God has not closed the door on us. He has provided Jesus so that we can be sure everything that we need, every prayer of ours, is heard in Jesus. You know, many today then in our culture, they see Jesus as standing in a lineup of legitimate spiritual options. So faith in Jesus is just another religion in a lineup of choices for them. And so he's easy to leave behind casually, right, for the next interest. I tried Jesus, and then I moved on. I sampled, you know, I had one foot in, one foot out of Christian things, but I decided to go after other. They don't realize that they're going to seek without ever finding. They're going to search and never come to a conclusion as they walk away from Christ. You know, the endings of many movies, right, are like the hero riding off into the sunset, you know, finding, as it were, fulfillment. Whereas we're going to trek off into the sunset and hunger and not find. We're going to row away, but to thirst and ultimately to perish apart from Jesus, who is the only refreshment for our souls. He knew well that we were sinners when he saved us. He knows what we need. And in that light, then, we recognize that believing prayer in the name and the Spirit of Jesus is for us a wonder, it is a treasure, it is a delight that God has handed to us as a gift that others don't enjoy, that others don't know the way that the Christian knows. No one knows us better than Jesus. And he commands us to pray so that he can show his care about our lives, which are full of needs that maybe nobody else knows, but he already knows. And maybe you haven't told anyone else, but he already knows and is willing to listen. Prayer for us is a great gift. Jesus knows us, and he loves us better than any other person loves us, and than any other person ever could love us. And he's able and ready and willing to express all the more that love as we pray in his name. No one can provide better than God provides for us through Jesus Christ. You know, what would you say if someone had a really amazing boat? You know, you have this incredible boat. You never take it out. You haven't taken it out once this entire, you know, summer season or whatever. You haven't taken it out. I don't know if you've ever been on it this entire season. You know, what a shame. You know, what a waste. What a loss. If someone has a beautiful, like, you know, pool, of, you know, backyard, you know, escape, as it were. Oh, beautiful, wonderful. Yeah, I didn't swim in it all season. I didn't swim in it once. I didn't even look at it. I never enjoyed it at all. Oh, what a shame. What a shame. What a waste. What a loss. What a loss. You know, what's the point? What's the point of having it? Wasteful. You know, but then we are meager in our prayers. Our prayers are you know, so small. Our prayers are so few. Our prayers are so limited. What a waste. What a shame. What a loss to us. There is no greater mediator, no greater intercessor, no greater access than through Jesus to the ocean of God's steadfast love, mercy, and compassion to those who trust him and fear him and who ask him for the things that they need. Unless we use it, aren't we such people, the people of the untouched, you know, boat? the people of the never swam in pool. We have the best. And so we need to be praying people. We need to be people who are obedient in prayer. In Jesus' name, prayer becomes the reinforcing lifeline of God's help. In Jesus, prayer becomes the ground of all this hope and all of this joy in the Christian life. We're not alone in some wilderness. We're not alone, in some forest. I didn't tell anyone I was walking down this trail. I don't know if you guys have ever been to a place where you have to sign a trail book so that someone knows that you even walked out this way. You sign your name and what day and time you left, just in case you don't come back. Maybe they can know and send someone to help you. We're not out of the water and no one even knows where we are. Prayer reminds us, and often, right, that God knows us. And He doesn't just know us, He loves us. And humble prayer believes that Jesus does what no other person could ever do. And He opens the limitless power and kindness of our Heavenly Father to us. Thank you, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Thank you, God, for sending Him. Thank you, God, for making Him our intercessor, our King, the head of His church, the center of all your purposes for us. With Him, we can't fail. With Him, we can't be lost. With Him, we'll never be empty. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise Your name. And we know that we have now with You reconciliation and peace because of the powerful work in the salvation of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we know, Lord, that we are bonded and connected to You because You have placed in our hearts Your Holy Spirit. So we pray that we become spiritual people truly, as the Holy Spirit urges us and as He compels us to come to You in Jesus' name with every need of ours, with every joy, with every sorrow, with every hope, with every fear and worry, and find relief and find Your favor. Lord, thank You for keeping us close to You. Now hear our prayer, Lord, draw us closer and deeper into the love of Christ. We pray in His name.